Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Mapping the world and finding out how to get places is what we're going to be talking about today. So stay tuned for an interesting time with MapQuest. It's good to welcome all of our people who are listening in all over the world. Let's give them a big hand. Thanks for being here. I hope that you were able to find the dial on your radio or that you're on your iPad or your iPhone and you're listening to Advanced Class today. And it's good to have some people here to discuss this with us today. I'm your helper and MapQuest teacher today, Doris Broome. And who else do we have with us?
Josh Mooney. Happy to be here.
Ellen Lee.
And good for all of you coming because you can help us to find out where the people are. I'd like to find out where everybody is that's listening. Can I find that out by looking at my computer?
Probably not.
Oh, man, that would be fun. Wouldn't it be fun to look there and see where people are listening into our program? Probably soon they'll do something like that.
I think so.
That would be exciting.
Just hover over the page and all their little faces pop up on the globe somewhere.
Wouldn't that be good?
Yeah.
Wow. But anyway, until then, we still have to find out how to get to where those people are, too, if we knew.
Yes.
And MapQuest, or finding people in some kind of way in a map, is a very, very big business.
It is. Lots of big companies and companies that we trust for things besides maps are trying to get in on the prize. And we asked yesterday, does this race to create the best digital map solution even have a prize?
And if you have your magazine or you're looking in on your iPad or whatever it is, flip on over to page 23. That's where we're going to start today. But in review of page 22, there were some very interesting phrases that we found yesterday. Let's review a few of those phrases.
Well, we started by saying everyone has a mapping fiasco, and a fiasco is a failure or something in your life that went terribly wrong, and you probably have a story where Google Maps or Yahoo Maps got you directions to a place and you ended up getting lost.
Well, I didn't quite have that kind of a story, but I did find out yesterday that if you have something that doesn't turn out right, it's not only a fiasco, it could be called a misadventure. It was an adventure, but it didn't work out right, so I called it a misadventure. That's a good word to know, too.
That is a great word to know. And we described it as it's kind of like a crazy story, right? Crazy tale.
And we also mentioned if you want to apologize or say you're sorry, that you have to have an apologetic tone in your voice. So don't forget that. If you're saying, I'm sorry, say it like you mean it. That's an apologetic tone, isn't it?
Right, it is. And apologetic obviously comes from apology, which just means to have a sorry tone.
Well, and we also talked about some of the challenges that people have who are trying to chart the world and find out where the buildings and the roads and where everything is. What are some of their challenges?
Well, it's a big world, and they need to capture every nook and cranny, which is a fun phrase that just means every small part of something and making sure it's very accurate.
I've seen that phrase quite a bit, every nook and cranny. When people are looking someplace, they look everywhere. Mm-hmm. They look at every little thing, every nook and every little hole, every cranny, to find something. The police do that when they're on an investigation sometimes, don't they? Or sometimes you lose something in your house. I've looked everywhere. I've looked in every nook and cranny, and I can't find it.
Right.
So we hear that phrase sometimes.
It's a funny one, because we don't have nooks or crannies in our house.
But it's just their old words that still get into these idioms, don't
they?
You know?
And then we also talked about the high standards people have. We won't stand for mediocrity in our digital maps, meaning average or middle of the road.
Or sometimes, you know, I call people on Skype and I say it's not very clear today. But we don't write in and tell Skype we're mad at them.
No.
But if you have something wrong on your map thing, you really get upset and then you really complain about it.
Right. They mention here mapping is a thankless endeavor, which means nobody ever thanks you for doing things right. They just complain when things go wrong.
No, and we don't pay for it either, right? It's this free service that we all rely on almost every day and expect it to work perfectly. I think that's...
Yeah, we should be kind of thankful for it.
Right. Or charge for it.
Well, yeah. Maybe we should write and thank all these companies for that. They'd be surprised if thousands of people wrote in and said, thank you for your mapping service. We heard about it in Advanced Studio Classroom. Wouldn't that surprise them?
Well, you brought up a good point yesterday that we can't please everyone here at Studio Classroom, right?
That's true. We'll make
a small change to our magazine or our website, and people will get upset about it. But not everyone's upset, just a couple of people who voice their opinion.
It's nice when people like it write in and say, well, we like it, though.
We'd love you to write.
Yeah,
please,
okay.
Tell us that you
we
love.
We want to hear more of that.
That's right, right. But, you know, the maps are so important now. And it said in our lesson yesterday that they are at the core of our digital future. So it's kind of like every race. They're racing to get ahead. And as we read in the subtitle here, but does this race have a prize? What is the prize going to be if everybody's trying to get ahead to get the best maps? Is there a prize?
I think there's a few prizes, yes. If we're all, everyone in the world is going to be used one mapping service, that company is going to have an advantage.
They're going to probably have a financial advantage, aren't they?
Right. Well, a lot of these services, I think, survive with advertisements. So if everybody uses it, they can charge more for the advertisements.
That's right.
And the data that they gather.
Right.
It's good for your company, you know, to be the best in anything, whatever it is, right?
Definitely.
So we're going to look at the next page, page 23 today. There's a little map here. There's a little chart that compares the different players. And who are the different players here?
Well, you've heard of a few of them. We talked about a couple of them yesterday. Apple, of course, who's got one of the most popular smartphones, launched a mapping service last year on their OS 6 that turned out to be mostly a failure. Google, who we think it says there is the fan favorite. That's a good phrase, meaning it's taken from sports. If you're a fan of a team and your favorite player, it could be called the fan favorite. And then a few that maybe you didn't know were players in the mapping space. Nokia, who it says has the industry's best product.
Hmm.
Were you familiar with their product, Ellen?
A little bit. I have used it once or twice, but since Google is kind of the fan favorite, it's kind of the one I always default to, the one that I always go back to.
Right, that's true, yeah. And Microsoft hasn't done that much in the past on that, but they're trying to get into it more, aren't they?
Well, they have a search engine that some folks use pretty often, Bing, B-I-N-G, and Bing has a mapping solution, and it's tied in with Nokia. Last year, Microsoft and Nokia forged a partnership, and so it's the Bing front end and Nokia's back end, so they're driving all the data.
So Nokia licensed Microsoft their maps, which just means they've given them permission to use their maps.
And it's good, you know, that people work together because you can't do everything yourself. You have to really get into working together with other people. But then you get all your contracts, and if you don't do it right, you get sued. And it's pretty complicated out there in that business world, Josh.
Oh, it sure is. We talked about Google and Apple's feud yesterday, and a lot of that had to do with Google's purchase of Motorola, a telecom company based in Illinois, and they own literally hundreds and thousands of patents related to technology, and that was really why Google bought Motorola, and that made Apple very angry.
It's really complicated, isn't it? There's all kinds of lawyers. Keeps them in business.
You need a map.
Well, in Amazon, we always think about it as a place that sold books and things, but now they're selling everything, and they're doing so many things, and they're even getting into all this with their Kindle and their things like that, aren't they?
Yes, they have their own device now, of course, the Kindle Fire, which is a color version of the Kindle.
Yeah.
A browser, and that has a map on it.
Yeah, and they mentioned that they're even developing a phone, which is not something you usually would think of Amazon developing.
I know they're kind of way behind on that one, but you know, see what happens, you know.
I think the Amazon phone, you can only just call Amazon.
Probably.
I'm not sure. Anyway, we're going to be talking about the map part of it today, and our lesson today starts out by saying more than maps. So it's not only just about maps. Just read that first two paragraphs there.
More than maps. Digital representations of the real world don't just drive our use of smartphones and tablets. They're also key to some promising technologies, like driverless cars and every location-enabled startup. We think there have been three big shifts in what people were asking online, says Hans-Peter Brondmo, Nokia's head of new product innovation. The first was what? Google won that battle. The second question was who? And Facebook won that. The next big question is where? And that's what we're fighting to become, the Where Company.
So what does it mean here, more than maps, Josh?
Well, we start out by saying that digital representations of the real world. And if something is a digital representation of it, it means it's something taken from the physical into the virtual or the computer-based environment.
We've had a lot of that, you know, that goes on. They had people trying to meet each other in places that are not real places, and you can even buy somebody coffee, but it's not really coffee.
Right.
It's kind of strange, you know.
Yeah, Second Life didn't last very
long.
Right. We enjoyed First Life a lot better.
Right. But, you know, they don't just use their smartphones and tablets for that. There are some very up-and-coming, you could say promising. They promise to give us new technologies. And what is one of those?
Well, a driverless car.
I kind of worry about a driverless car myself.
Right.
What do you think?
It's in the works. It's definitely coming. I think, and mapping is obviously a big part of it, because if the mapping is good, then the car would know how to get places without us programming it.
Josh, how would you feel sitting in a car and you're not driving and the car's going by itself? Would you feel secure?
I'd feel great. I hate driving.
Yeah, but I'm not so sure that they could drive, you know, I mean, make the same decisions I might make when driving.
Well, the reason why it's not going to happen anytime soon is liability.
Yeah.
Right? When the first accident happens, who's going to get sued? How fast? Who's going to be responsible for the computer malfunction or the mapping malfunction or what happened? So it's still a ways out. But Google is really committed to this technology.
Wow.
And if you jump on YouTube, you can see some videos of their driverless car right now that works great. It can park better than you can.
Well, I don't mind it for parking, but I don't know, driving on the road, I'd kind of like to make my own decisions on that one. But, you know, it is something that people are working on now. And then every location-enabled startup. What is a location-enabled startup?
Well, location-enabled means that the technology can figure out where you are. So, for example, on Google Maps, if you want to get from location A to location B, your computer or your phone will be able to tell you where location A is, where you're standing right now.
So they know where you are. That's kind of scary, though.
This really is. And it's not just map companies that are excited about this. Marketers are really excited about, you know, are you walking by a Starbucks right now? Well, then let's give you a coupon for some money off your next latte.
Well, those are scary things. But there are these big shifts. We think that there have been at least these three big shifts of what people are asking for online, what they used to ask for and what they're asking for now. And the one that's the head of the Nokia's product development, what they said the first shift was what?
The first shift was what?
That was
Google One. Yeah.
What does it mean by what here?
Well, it's the race of getting to content the quickest on the internet. Who's going to bring me what I want from the web?
Who's going to give me the information I'm looking for first?
So that's what Google started out with. And then the second question was?
Was who? And that's who are my friends? What are they, you know, how do I get in touch with them? How do I document my life?
Facebook and LinkedIn, all those kind of things, right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Okay. Facebook kind of got in on that. Everybody started to do that. But what is the next big question?
It's where. And that's basically what all of these companies, Apple, Google, Nokia, Microsoft, and Amazon, that's the question they're trying to answer.
Where is everybody? Where's the action going on? Where is something happening? So the where is the third one. Josh, you said there might even be a fourth one.
Well, you're just going down the standard how to write a story line, right? You focus mm-hmm. on what your story is about, who your characters are, where does it take place. And then your fourth one is why.
Yeah, that's a good one. Why do we need to know all this?
Right. Why am I here, Doris?
Yeah, why do we need to know that? Yeah, that's a good one, number four. I wonder who's going to focus on why. I think we have to leave it up to the people in church or somebody. Huh?
I think
yeah.
church would be a great place to find right. out why.
So we have to kind of find out all these different things. But it's more than maps. People are trying to find out more information about where things are going on and as you said, even why could come into that. It's very interesting because digital things are here to stay. You might say you don't like them, you don't want to use them, but they're here to stay, aren't they?
They are. As we move forward, every year there's new technologies that come out that maybe 10, 15 years ago we never would have thought.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, you know, even some people who maybe are a little bit older and they say, well, I don't like all this digital stuff. They probably like it, like if you go to the hospital and all of a sudden the doctor can take your blood and immediately they can go through digital things and find out what's wrong with you instead of waiting 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really speeds up our information on our health, on everything. So really, there's a lot of good things to do with this digital world if we use them right.
There are. And I think you hear more about those people that don't want to participate in digital. But I haven't met very many.
No. That's right. Because digital really helps us out quite a bit. Yeah.
Right. I finally jumped into the smartphone world because I decided that if I didn't, I would probably get left behind. Or,
that's true. And it's hard to catch
lost.
Up.
Yeah.
I try to keep up with new things because otherwise you get so far behind you just give up. So you got to kind of keep up with the new things.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. You do a great job of that, Doris.
Yes. Well, even when you get older, you still have to do that. Some people say, are you doing that? You better get started now because it's going to get more and more that way.
Yeah.
So there's no time like the present to start. But what says here, to the ends of the earth, let's read the next couple of paragraphs.
To the ends of the earth. The fight means that the world is now better mapped than at any time in the history of civilization. Nokia's cartographic wizards assert that its maps cover more countries, receive inputs from more sources, 80,000 data feeds, and are updated more quickly, up to 2.4 million times a day, than those of any other service. In 2008, Google launched Ground Truth, a massive project that uses a fleet of airplanes, automobiles, and data collected from public and private agencies to create a proprietary location database of 40 countries around the world. There are product innovations such as photorealistic 3D maps, 360-degree panoramic views, street views, and transit and turn-by-turn directions.
Well, in line 14 here on the page 23, the left-hand column, that's a very interesting thing to think about. I didn't really realize this, but of course it's true that the world is now better mapped than at any time in the history of civilization. Everything is faster, information is faster. Of course things are changing, actually. And so mapping, or what we could call, what do we call this mapping?
Cartography.
Cartography, which is a big word. It's a good advanced word. Cartography is more advanced than it's ever been before.
Right. And Nokia's wizards, or experts, assert that their maps cover more countries and receive more data than any other company.
So the people that work there, that like if you worked at Nokia and you were working on maps, you would say, oh, he's a cartographic wizard. I've never heard anybody call that name. You know, that sounds kind of good. Josh, don't you wish you were a cartographic wizard?
Hmm. I think you're an English teaching wizard, Doris.
Well, I don't know. But, you know, it's kind of interesting. We use that word wizard to say that somebody does magic almost with something. But these are people who really studied it. They're really into it, and they know what they're doing.
That's right.
Specialists.
And the technology has advanced so
much. It's a specialist, actually, yeah.
And that Nokia has it actually is recognized in the industry or by the people who already work in mapping or cartography as having the best tool. And we learn mm-hmm. why, because it's getting the most data.
That's what they say, you know. Why do they say that they are the best? It says that they're updating it quicker than anybody else. 2.4 million times a day. That's more than any other service. That's a lot of fast updates, isn't it?
It is. Usually, I think, when we think updating something, maybe our Facebook, we might update it once or twice a day. But 2.4 million is a lot of updates.
Yeah, that's more than I can even figure about, you know. I'm not a mathematic wizard, that's for sure.
That is a lot of people out there making sure that new roads are recorded or shifts, new buildings, a lot of pictures, a lot of, as it says, data feeds. A feed is a term we've used in the advanced class before. It's about pulling data from a source and bringing it into another. You might have an RSS feed on your website, meaning it's pulling articles that you're interested in from other websites and aggregating them mm-hmm. on a page.
You can get those. There's newspaper ones. I have one of those on my smartphone where they gather all the information from you. You can say maybe you want the Seattle Times and the Los Angeles something or other, and they'll gather the information that you want, and you open it up, and your newspaper's got all those things in it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing more and more of that.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you're eating anything. Not that kind
no.
of feed.
No, not really. But it is interesting the kind of jobs that we have, because we think about people when they get a job, what type of a job, and we think of the regular conventional jobs. But so many jobs now that people are into, people never thought of them before. You say, what are you going to do when you get out of school? Well, I don't know. It depends on what's invented by then, right?
That's right.
You
I never thought, you'd take pictures for Google Street View.
Right. You never thought they're going to do some of those kind of things, right? But they did. In 2008, they started out, they launched this Ground Truth. And what was that?
It was a massive project, or a big project, that uses a fleet or a big group of airplanes, automobiles, and data collected from public and private agencies.
Okay. And what did they use that for?
Well, they used it to create a proprietary location database. And I used that word proprietary yesterday. It just means something that you made on your own as a company or an organization. You didn't rely on someone else's technology. So this was a ground-up database of information from 40 countries.
Okay, 40 countries. They started out then with 40 countries. Now, I'm sure it's gone beyond that now.
Yes.
And now they have developed into other things, new ways, innovations, new ways to use that.
Right. They've developed, they're creating new products such as photorealistic 3D maps or three-dimensional maps.
Can you imagine that, 3D maps? That's really something.
Right. And these are actually also 360-degree panoramic views, which are just very wide or all-encompassing views.
Mm-hmm. I've noticed how they use that 360 panoramic views on a lot of things. If you go to a site of some kind of hotel or something, they'll show you a panoramic mm-hmm. view of the gardens and the swimming pool, and you can just look around and see everything instead of just one picture of the room.
Mm-hmm.
And they're using that quite a bit now in all kinds of ads, aren't they?
They sure are. I think we're almost expecting to be able to get the most photorealistic, the most immersive visual of trips we're taking, of places we're moving, and of the world around us. And Google has really pioneered this when it comes to mapping.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about their street views a little bit yesterday. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun to mm-hmm. go check out a place. It's almost like you're there. You click into the map and it zooms in. It almost takes you on a little ride, and then you can pan to the right or the left or go up or down and get a real sense of the physical place that you're exploring.
Well, and then if you're looking for that place, when you get there, you look at the building or something, you say, oh, yeah, I recognize it because you saw it.
Mm-hmm.
It helps you find places better, doesn't it?
That's right. Before I moved to Asia, I pretty much knew the whole neighborhood of where we were living thanks to Google Street Views.
Hmm. Well, sometimes if you look at it, you might not want to move there, so I don't know. Got to be careful about that, right?
That's true. But, Ellen, you mentioned that Google's even doing this in remote locations, right?
Yes, I recently read an article where they were saying Google was having hikers. They hired people to hike through the Canadian wilderness, kind of in the icy areas and where it's all snow.
Wow. So you just turn to the right and it's just more snow.
It's just more
and
snow.
More snow.
Yeah. We've got another little paragraph. Let's finish reading that one today.
One map's failure is another map's fortune. Maps also factor into Google's highest profile current and future projects. In the wake of Apple's debacle, Google Maps has become a key selling point for choosing an Android phone over an iPhone. Nokia, too, has seized on Apple's failed launch by releasing an iOS app branded Here Maps to woo iPhone users disaffected by Apple Maps. We would love for iOS users to be more aware of Nokia, says Brondmo. Maybe they'll look at our great Maps app and next time around decide to take a harder look at our Lumia phone.
Okay, so maps, of course, are what Google really is known for right now. And they're really planning more and more to do with maps, aren't they?
Yes, and they're even taking advantage of Apple's failure, or in line 16, we call it their debacle.
Right.
Something that just goes terribly wrong.
So in the wake of something just really means that after that happened, then this is what they're taking advantage of it, mm-hmm. since that did happen. And so they have, you know, become a key selling point for choosing, let's get an Android phone, because they have the best maps. And so that's a good selling point for them, isn't it, for their phones?
Yes. I think people really are being maybe considering an Android phone maybe more than they would after they heard about Apple's problems.
But Nokia is doing something about that, too.
Right. Nokia has seized upon or taken the opportunity after, in the wake of Apple's debacle, to release their own iOS or own application, which is called Here Maps.
I haven't tried that one yet, have you?
I
haven't. Go try that one.
Seen it either, no. So Nokia created an app that works on the iOS phones, the Apple devices.
Of course, they did that to get other people to come to woo people. It gives them hantada, shi, and li. They try to help them.
Mm-hmm.
They say, okay, you can use this because we have that. You didn't like Apple Map, but that's okay. Here's Map. And they'd like to have the iOS users become more aware of what they're doing. And so they look at great Maps apps and the next time around decide to take a harder look or look more at our Lumia phone. So they're trying to advertise their phones too, aren't
they?
Yes,
that's Nokia's primary smartphone called the Lumia, and it's not selling very well.
Well, we'll talk more about that tomorrow because we have one more day left, so you be sure and be with us as we finish this interesting, informative article. See you then. Find your way on the dial through the map to get here for the program. Goodbye.
Goodbye.